Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight, and I trust you're just blessed to be in the place tonight. As we come through the doors of this church, I trust that you sense the presence of God here, and that's what we pray for all week long, and we pray that God would empower the services, the music, as well as the preaching and the teaching of His Word. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, well, if you would, look with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. On Sunday nights, we've been just going through and teaching on little-known Bible characters, little-known Bible characters that we can learn from. And if they're in the Bible, then God has a purpose for placing them in the Bible. And we can learn from these characters and that God has given to us. And some of them, just like we're reading in the book of Joshua, Joshua is a Bible character that is very well known. But one that was right alongside of Joshua is a Bible character named Caleb. And it's a powerful message from the life of Caleb. And we sing a song from time to time, I Want That Mountain, the mountain that the Lord has given me. That song comes from the life of Caleb. And Caleb and Joshua, the two of them, were two of the spies that went into the land, the promised land, and came back with a positive outlook on being able to go in and take the land. But yet the other spies, the other 10, came back with a very negative outlook on things. And so often again, we understand who Joshua is, and because after that, God would choose Joshua to lead Israel into the promised land. And Moses would prepare Joshua to do that because of his faith. But Caleb, likewise, is a great Bible character, and that's who we're going to be studying tonight. So if you'll stand with me this evening, we're going to be reading here Joshua chapter 14. We'll begin in verse 6 because Joshua is now dividing up the land between the tribes of Israel. That's where we're at here in Joshua chapter 14. And this is when Caleb comes in to the scene and as they're dividing up the land. So Joshua chapter 14, beginning in verse 6, the Bible says this: Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, wherefore the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Amalekites were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you tonight, it is a blessing to be in church. I thank you for everyone that had the desire to be here and took advantage of the opportunity that had to come and that are assembled here tonight. And God, you know exactly what has taken place in each one of their lives. And I just pray, God, that they would have already sensed your presence in this place. And now as we study this Bible character of Caleb, I pray that you would speak to each one of us through the life of Caleb. Speak to us in a way that we might be able to learn and be encouraged and strengthened by these truths that we learn from his life. I just pray, God, that you'd empower the preaching once again tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Caleb of the tribe of Judah wanted the mountain land of Hebron. He wanted it some 45 years earlier. And if it would have been up to him, he would have went into the promised land and taken the mounts that God had given to him. But there was more against going in than there was for going in. And they persuaded the people, and the people turned away from the will of God concerning about going into the promised land. And God judged them for their lack of faith, and he placed them back into the wilderness for another 40 years. And so for 40 years, none of those of 20 years and older, the Bible says, were alive when they went into the land of Canaan. God would not allow any of those that had that doubt and unbelief to experience going into the land of Canaan, except for those of the younger and then of the two, Joshua, who would be leading them into the promised land, and another Bible character that we're studying tonight, Caleb. And so we look at this and we study this, what the Bible gives us in chapter 14, and what a great and great blessing it is for us to learn from this Bible character of Caleb. Who was he? That's what we're going to be looking at tonight. Just who was Caleb? First of all, Caleb was a man of faith. Now, he was the representation of the tribe of Judah. When he went into the promised land, they chose out, each tribe would choose someone to represent them. And they chose those who would have had a good reputation. They would have chose those who would have been men of faith. And Judah chose Caleb to go into the land, the promised land, to spy it out. But Caleb was a man of faith and obedience. We find here in chapter 14, in verse 7 and 8, it says this. Caleb says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. He seen things differently because he had faith in God when he went in. And he had belief that God was able to give them the victory if it was in his will to do so. And so we find here that Caleb comes back and says, it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. He didn't let anything come into his heart. He didn't let anything come into his mind that would have hindered him from believing God and wanting to follow through and accomplish what God had him there to do. So we find that Caleb was, first of all, a man of faith and obedience. Look back with me to Numbers chapter 13. What Caleb is bringing up here, we'll look back in Numbers in chapter 13 and 14. We'll see it actually as it happened here. In Numbers chapter 13 and verse 26, now you want to keep your place in both of these because we'll be going back and forth. But Caleb knew of God's word. He knew of God's ability. And not that Caleb was thinking that he was something special, but he knew that God was something special. And we find that Caleb, again, his faith led him to want to obey God's commandments. And that is the very same thing today. Our faith, our level of belief will determine our obedience. If you're not obeying God, it's because your level of faith is not where it needs to be. But if your level of faith is where God wants it to be, then you will have a heart to obey. And we find this in Caleb. The first thing that we study about him is that he wholly followed the Lord. In Numbers chapter 13, look at verse 26 with me. The Bible says, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. They're coming back. The spies are coming back and reporting. They told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, what we need to keep out of our minds when it comes to serving God. There's no reason why we ought not to be obedient to whatever God's called us to do. We should not be, nevertheless is the same word as being but. You know, yes, it's exactly the way God said it would be, and this is what's going on, and we know what God wants us to do, but nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. These are the children of the giants. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Well, Caleb seen where this was going. Caleb heard the voice of the other 10 spies, and he understood where it was going, and he immediately then, when he heard of this, it says, and Caleb stilled the people before the Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now that's a man of faith. That's somebody that says, if this is something that God wants me to do, then God can enable me to do whatever it is He calls me to do. I just have to have faith in God and not in my abilities, not in what I'm able to do, but I have to have faith in what God is able to do. And I know that as long as I just believe in Him and as long as I study the Scriptures and know for sure this is what God wants me to be, I can be that. Listen to me tonight, husbands. God has a plan and a purpose for the position that you hold as a husband and a father. And with that position that you hold as a husband and father comes the commandments and the responsibilities of God for that position. And there's not a man here that cannot be exactly what God wants you to be in that position if you put your faith and your trust in God and just look to God to strengthen you to be the Christian husband your wife needs and be the Christian father that your children need. If you have enough faith, you can be what God wants you to be. And that's not only for the Christian husband, but that's for the wife as well. Listen to me, lady. If you are married, then you can be the Christian wife that you need to be to your husband, and you can be the Christian mother that you need to be to your children. Why? Because it's God who has called you to that position, and it is God who can enable you to be all that you can be in serving in that position. Parents, you can raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, no matter what the world says, and no matter what the other families are doing. Listen to me. If you are a child of God and you have been given children, children are a heritage of the Lord, then you need to look to the instructions that God gives you concerning parenting, and you can be that type of a parent. If you have faith to believe the Word of God and know this is what God has for your life and how to raise your children, then He will enable you to be that parent that God wants you to be. Heard me say many times, I believe this to be true, you will not be given account for how your children turn out. Although we want our children to turn out right. Every time our girls would ask me, what do you want for Christmas, or what do you want for Father's Day, or what do you want for this, whenever there's just for you to love your sister and turn out right. They knew that was my heart, that was my desire. I'll not give an account for how my children turn out, but I will give an account for the things that I can control, how I raise them. You will give an account for how you raise your children, because that is within your control. You decide what you allow them to do. You decide what kind of home you're going to raise them in. You decide what kind of influences that you allow in their lives. We need to have the faith in God and His ability for us to be what God wants us to be and be obedient to His commands. Holy followed the Lord. When he heard the rest of them speaking up, and he's shocked. They saw the same thing. Yes, it was going to be a battle. There was people living in the promised land. It was, but they had God on their side. And listen to me, if you have God on your side, you and God are a majority. And you can do it. You can do it. That was his heart. That was his attitude. It ought to be our heart. It ought to be our attitude. Yeah. We are well able. Too many have a spirit and yield to a spirit of defeat, yield to a spirit of discontentment, yield to a spirit of complaining and murmuring, even somewhat as we preached on this morning. And it's yielding to that spirit that will hinder you more than anything else. If you don't think you can do it, if you don't think God is able to strengthen you to be able to do it, listen to me, Satan will get the victory in your life. That's where faith comes in. I know my God is able. And if my God is able, then I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. What a spirit. I believe Caleb, that the one of the things about Caleb that stands out more than anything else is heart and his attitude. And he had a I can do attitude when it came to serving God. When it came to accomplishing what God had him here to accomplish, he went in with this in mind, not to decide whether or not we can win the battle. If God gives us if tells us to go in, then God will strengthen us and we can win the battle. His idea was to go and look at it and bring back this report of what was there and determine how God would have him to win the battle. But it was never a thought in his mind, we can't do it. Because he knew that God was able. Whew, what a great blessing we learned from Caleb to start with, that he wholly followed the Lord, a man of faith and obedience. Caleb maintained this right attitude throughout it all. There again, Numbers in chapter 13. Numbers in chapter 13 and verse 30. Again, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. His faith in God led him to want to obey God, and his obedience, as he was looking to be obedient, he maintained a right attitude, had a right spirit. Do we have first of all, do you have that kind of faith? If not, you need to increase your faith. Preacher, how do I increase my faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Spend more time walking with God. Spend more time reading about the Bible. Spend more time being influenced by the truths of God's Word. Spend more time in church. Spend more time in a prayer closet where it's just you and God, and let God speak to you. God knows you better than you know yourself. There's no better counselor than God inside of a prayer closet. Amen. Some of my best counsel time for myself is in my prayer closet. It's actually in this church on Saturday nights, amen, when no one else is around. And this is something I've been doing for over 30 years, is Saturday night. If I'm preaching on Sunday morning, I'm here and this is my prayer closet. And I'm in here counseling with God. And I'm in here asking God to empower me. I'm asking God to give me clarity of thought. I'm asking God to make sure that I do not say anything that would be a hindrance to the cause, but that I would be able to be used by God to impact the lives of those that will be in services on Sunday. It's important that we do that. If we're going to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish, we have to have faith in God, understand what God would have us to do, and then maintain a right attitude, a right spirit, a right mindset in accomplishing that. Caleb maintained a right attitude. Caleb was a man of faith and obedience. I love something else about Caleb. Go back with me to Numbers in chapter 14, verse 6 through 9. Once they get back, we find that the majority of those spies that went in were against the idea. They did not have faith. They did not have a right spirit. But we find something that happens here. Caleb finds a friend. Find someone that has the very same heart. Find someone that has the very same mindset. Has the very same faith in God that would enable them to go into the promised land and be victorious. Numbers chapter 14, verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Junipah, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. Praise the Lord. Now we find that Caleb's not alone. We find earlier that it was Caleb who spoke up. And he's the one that said, stop talking like this. He stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. Don't give us time. Don't give them time enough to think opposite and to have doubt. We just need to go do it now. We know it's God's will. We know it's something God wants to do. Stop praying about something that you already know that's God's will for you to do and just jump in there and get it done. But now as we find that the others were hindering the people, now we find that there's a second person. It's Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. And if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, and their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. What a blessing. What a blessing when we find that God gave Caleb some support. No doubt the two of them had paired up in Canaan because they saw things the same. And they were encouraged by it. Can I say tonight, praise God for friendships. Can I encourage you tonight to unite with others of like mind and like faith? Yeah. Galatians in chapter 6, let me just read it to you. Very familiar passage of Scripture. But Galatians in chapter 6, in verse 10, it says this. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. As a Christian, you ought to be a blessing to those you're around. There ought to be something about you that is an encouragement to others around you, a positive heart, a positive spirit, an encouraging spirit. There ought to be something. The Spirit of God ought to speak through you. People ought to be able to see that there's something different about the born-again believer. Should not be doom and gloom. Even in a time when there's a lot of things to get discouraged over, there's never a time when the born-again believer ought to be discouraged. Amen? And if you understand who God is, and you understand that if God be for you, then who can be against you? And you understand that ultimately, at the end of things, we come out of this victoriously. We win the battle, amen? We might lose a battle here and there, but we win the war. We understand that. We know that. And so because of those things, the Christian ought to have a positive attitude. We ought to have a positive spirit coming from us to all around us. And when people ask you, how can you be so joyous and how can you have such a positive spirit? You can say, it's because of my God. Amen. It's because of the peace that passes all understanding, the grace that's available to me from my God. That's exactly how we ought to answer people. People ought to understand that. But the Bible says that we have therefore opportunity to do good unto all men, but especially unto them which are the household of faith. God makes a difference there. He says, yes, we ought to be an encouragement and we ought to be a blessing to others, but especially to those that are the very same heart, of the very same mind, of the very same spirit. We ought to especially encourage the brother. Can I tell you that Satan is not going to work to hinder your relationship with the ungodly, but he will work overtime to hinder your relationship with another godly individual. Through gossip, through lies and deception, through circumstances when something's going on that you don't know is going on and something happens and you don't give one another the benefit of the doubt. The Bible tells us that we need to forbear one another. The Bible tells us we need to be able to let love cover a multitude of sins.
especially within the household of faith, especially when it comes to the children of God. Why? Because we need each other. No one in here that loves the Lord, and no one in here that believes this Bible, no one in here that has the Holy Spirit of God living inside of them is your enemy. They are the support to what you are called to do. Because we as a church have been called to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. We as a church have been called to represent the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus. We have been called to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. We have been called to evangelize this world. Listen to me, as a church family, we need each other. We come together in services like this so that we can admonish one another, encourage one another, be a blessing to one another, be recharged to go out and to do and to be all that God would have us to do and to be. Do not allow Satan to come between you and another brother or another sister in Christ, especially when it comes to the household, the very church that God has planted you in. Do not allow that to happen. That is not of God. That's of an evil spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord for Caleb. There's a lot much we can learn from him. And he wholly followed after the Lord, his faith and obedience. He had a right attitude. But Caleb understood when God sent him somebody to unite with and to befriend, that he united with him and stood upon the very same ground of truth. We can do this. God's brought people into your life that you can stand with. Don't let Satan put a wedge between you. Praise the Lord for Christian friendships. Yeah. One last thing tonight. Caleb, no matter what, held on to God's promise. It was more that was against him than was for him. The nation of Israel listened to the negative testimonies. The world's not always going to follow the minority, no matter how right the minority might be. Numbers chapter 14, verse 9. He says, only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. Stone those who have the truth. Stone those who want to stand upon the foundation of truth and obedience, and that God is able. That sounds somewhat like the society we're living in today. Call good evil and evil good. Congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence, disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. Now drop down to verse 22. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Israel is going to go in, but those that did not have faith would not accompany them. Neither shall any of them that provoke me see it, but my servant Caleb. Because he had another spirit, not a negative spirit, but a positive spirit, a can-do spirit, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land. God says, I'm going to do something very special for him. Him will I bring into the land, whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now go back, and we'll end with this.
Joshua chapter 14, verse 9. And Moses swore on that day, saying, this is Caleb, sure the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. 45 years later, he held on to the promise that God made him. 45 years. Be patient. Amen. Be patient. God does not have to work in our time frame. God has the whole world and eternity in view all the time, and he knows what he's doing. But you can hold on to his promises, because they will come true. Verse 10, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive 45 years. As he said, these 40 and 5 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now lo, I am this day 85, I'm 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. I'm thinking 45 years and he hasn't lost any muscle. I'm thinking, I wish I was 45 again. In 14 years, can I tell you, I've lost a lot of muscle and stamina and strength. For 45 years, he says, I'm as strong today as I was then. Can I tell you, God's able to strengthen you. He's able to do whatever God needs to do. And it's like 45 years passed, but I'm still the man I used to be. None of us can say that. No. Not the woman you used to be, not the man you used to be. No. But because of God's promise to Caleb, he is. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Amalekites were there, and that the cities were great in fence, and so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. He held on to God's promises. God gives us promises that will affect our life. In closing, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Very same God. Very same promises. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Knowledge. Your faith has to be based on the very knowledge of God and who he is. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things. Through his power he's given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. To live the life that God wants you to live and to be as godly as God wants you to be, God's promise, his divine power, will enable you to do that. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God says, if you want to be what I want you to be, you can be. Through my strength. Amen. Through my enabling you. You can be. The question is, do we really want it? Is that our heart's desire? Is that what I pray for? Help me, God, to be what you want me to be. If that is your desire, and that is your spirit, that is your heart, you can have it. Not because of your strength and ability, but because of His precious promises. What a great little known Bible character that I believe we can learn from. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed.